Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Today we are returning to our conversation entitled, Teaching Your Children to Serve the Lord. Two things we cannot fail in. We cannot teach our kids that God is real and He hears prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we've also got to teach our children that He speaks to us through His Word.
Yes.
And getting our children into His Word. We've done family devotions in a multitude of ways. Mm-hmm. But I remember one year we read through Genesis. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things we could talk about in Genesis.
Right.
Everything from purity to family problems to
right. How
to find a spouse if you want to follow the Abrahamic way of sending a servant to get a relative for his son.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And there was a ton of material, though, in Genesis that we talked about for hours.
Right.
Literally, that went for a number of months.
Yes.
One summer, we memorized Psalm 19 in our family devotions as we traveled.
Right.
And we've read through Proverbs. We usually, there was times where we would read the whole Proverbs, but often we'd read verses 1 through 10. 10 verses a day.
Right.
And that breaks it down a little bit. And there's a ton of interesting stuff in Proverbs to train our children, everything
yes.
from purity to work.
Mm-hmm.
But we also wanted our kids to read the Bible on their own.
Yes.
Now, Bethany and I have always, we were trained by our parents and our spiritual leaders to read the Bible.
Yes.
A daily, we called it daily devotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted our children to do that. So I did something some people thought I shouldn't do. But I paid our children to read the Bible. And so I told our children that for every book of the Bible they would finish, I would pay them $2.
Mm-hmm.
And Abigail is the one who took us up on that the most
right.
in the sense that she started, she's probably, what, 6 or 7?
She was really tiny.
When she finished mm-hmm. the Bible all the way through.
Yes.
And because she's always been a reader, so she's a little exception to the rule. Not mm-hmm. every kid, my
right.
other kids are not like their sister in that regards. But Abby just read it on her own, and she devours words.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite memories of her reading her Bible, when she first started, Genesis is easy because it's a story, it's a dialogue,
mm-hmm.
it's all these events and excitement. And Exodus is similar because you have the 10, you know, the plagues and the, you know,
right.
the 10 commandments, and there's mm-hmm. so many events there that are so exciting. Well, then she got to Leviticus, and I remember her reading Leviticus, and she had this pained expression. She was on we were in the RV in those days. We lived on our fifth wheel, the recreational vehicle. And she was on the couch and she was reading. And I just casually said, Abigail, what are you reading? And I remember she says very, almost down, she's real down spirited. She said, Dad, God is still talking to Moses. And I'm like, oh, I've been there. I've read
yes,
that section.
I've read Leviticus.
We knew that she was a little different when she was reading. Was that Paradise Lost she was reading
yes.
one day? And first, that's when you're in elementary school and reading Paradise Lost. That's a little just, you know.
Over the top.
That's a little over the top. But we're watching her read Paradise Lost, and she chuckles. And we're like, you're finding humor in Paradise Lost. And so we ask her about it, and it was some section about where the demons, the fallen angels
yes,
had been kicked out of heaven.
Yes.
And they were all stunned lying on the earth.
Yes.
And she just found that humorous. And I thought, okay, this is a different child we're raising right here. So every child is different is what I'm saying there. But each of our children, I don't know how many times we have said this in our home, have you had devotions today?
Yes. Have you read your Bible today?
Have you read your Bible? We even had a rule there for a while. And in a sense, it's still there. You know, you can't play video games unless you've read your
right.
Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, there's things you cannot do unless you've had your devotions.
Yes.
And so we've got to remind our children to read that. We've got to read it ourselves. That's
right.
modeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And then read it to them and train them to read God's word on their own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't beat our children with Bible verses, though there have been times in which we've said to our children, you know, here'd be a good verse for you to memorize.
Yes.
Me and my boys memorized a variety of purity verses, especially during their teen years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other verses of be kind one to another,
yes.
tenderhearted, forgiving
uh-huh.
one another. And mm-hmm. there's a ton of verses there. Any other further thoughts on prayer in the Bible?
I think it has to be a consistent part of your life and then your family's life. And
sure.
that helps them to understand that prayer and the Lord and His word are all real and powerful
sure.
in their lives.
So remember what we're talking about. We're talking about training our children to serve the Lord
yes.
all the days of their life. That's mm-hmm. our goal.
Yes.
So we teach them to pray. We teach them to love God's word. We teach them to give.
Mm-hmm.
That's important because giving, the Bible promises blessings on giving.
Yes.
Giving is a grateful heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we always have to work at.
Right.
And reminding our children to be givers.
And just remind them. Yes. You
know, and if teach them to love to give.
If they're working, if they earned a paycheck early on in their teenage years or whatever, that's a good time just to teach them about budgeting and budgeting in their giving.
And then we're training our children to serve.
Yes.
We look for needs in the church. There's a need in the church. I know that we had a tornado come through this area many months ago, and it did a lot of damage on the church property. Not the buildings, but the grounds, the trees.
Yes.
And I took my son. We went over to serve our church.
Right.
And when our youth group does community service events, we send our children.
Yes, absolutely.
There's service in the choir. It's a good thing. I love it that we have a couple of teen boys in the choir that sing and that sing with all their heart.
Right.
Our son is a guitar player, and he plays in the church. Mm-hmm. He's part of our church's music program, and we're looking for opportunities for our children to serve. We're training them to love church, to love prayer, to love to give, to love to serve.
And even, I would say, serving in our neighborhood, we have had, she has moved since, but we had a neighbor that was across the road from us, a shut-in, and we often would have the children. We would go check on her too, but we would have the children run over and check on Miss Mary and see if she needed anything, run to the grocery store for her, or run over a hot meal that we would pack up for her while we were having our supper. So teaching them to serve not only in the church, but in your community.
Now, to take it over to
her. Right in your neighborhood.
To talk to her a few moments, to visit with her, to be an encouragement to her.
To help in her yard or whatever.
She was hysterical. She loved Diet Dr. Pepper and potato chips. And she was in her late 80s. She's still living, but now living with a family.
Yes.
Part of her family an hour or so away. Mm-hmm. But we always get a kick out of her, because if you ask her what groceries she needed, she wanted potato chips, chocolate, and Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yep.
And so apparently it's okay to drink that stuff, because she was in her late 80s and doing pretty good.
Yes.
So we're teaching our kids to serve. We have to teach our children. If we're going to mold our children to serve the Lord, we have to teach our children to love church and to worship. Mm-hmm. That starts with our being faithful to church and making church a priority.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's so, so important.
Yep.
If you were with us last week, I mentioned a neighbor who told me about his dad, who he's a good Christian, but he just church wasn't much part of his life. Mm-hmm. And our neighbor has not one time gone to church in all the years that we've lived here.
Right.
Neither has his children. Mm-hmm. And they all claim to be religious. They all claim to know God, but church is, because they were trained, that church was not important.
Right.
And the moms and dads, you have to follow God and be very wise about this, but we just have decided along the way that nothing is more important to our children than church.
Right.
No sporting event, no ball game. Mm-hmm. We even insist that our children find jobs that permit them to be in church.
Yes.
There are jobs that would make you miss church. Mm-hmm. We ask our children not to take those jobs.
Right.
Even if it means they make a little less, still church is that important to us.
It is.
And the worship part of it is we want our children not just to go to church and sit there, but to be partners. Participators.
Yes.
So that they sing in church.
Yes.
That's one of our rules. You have to sing.
Right.
And it used to be that churches would use the hymn. So many now put them on the screen, which I'm not against. I like that because I can't see the hymnal. I wear reading glasses. And so putting the words on the screen is really good for my eyesight. Mm-hmm. But when we are in a church that holds hymnals, we want the kids to hold a hymnal.
Yes.
And if their words are on the screen, we want the kids to look at that screen and sing.
Yes.
Because that's all part of worship.
Well, you need that time. You do.
Yeah.
We talked last week about Sunday mornings being that time of pressure and stress and things going wrong. And it's wonderful to have that time to sing about the Lord and to remember what He has done for us and what He will do for us and what He is doing, and allow that to lighten your heart and just to get into that spirit of worship, and allowing our children to see us that way and encouraging our children to be that way.
Absolutely. Let's just kind of wind that one up. One of the things I would add to that is that as we taught our children to love church and worship, we did look for opportunities to get our kids into great meetings.
Oh, yes.
Christian camp was vital to that.
Absolutely.
And some churches we go to, Christian camping has not been a part of their habits, but our children flourished greatly because of Christian camps. And we strongly believe in it. Taking our kids to a week where God is working.
Yes.
God is on the move, mm-hmm. taking our kids to, we have a friend who runs these events called prayer advances.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the prayer advances, men's prayer advance or the women's prayer advance or the student prayer advance, mm-hmm. our kids have been to all of those.
Yes.
And we want them to be there because the music is great, the singing is powerful, the preaching is dynamite.
Yes.
They learn things about prayer. And there's real worship in the services. Absolutely. As far as, and I remember the first time our kids went, our sons were at a prayer advance, mm-hmm. a student one with me.
Right.
And there was a service in which the kids were singing. It was unbelievable to be in a place where the teens are that.
Right.
Singing better than the average Sunday morning, yes. church service would have.
Just very and open.
There was, the kids were singing with all of their heart, and even our sons on the front row were absolutely pouring out their praise to the Lord. And it was so dynamite. Mm-hmm. We were so overwhelmed by that.
And they remember those powerful times where the Lord was real.
They certainly do. Well, there's a ton more. We probably are going to have to wind down here. I think do we have time to give the rest of this, or should we come back? What do you think?
It's up to you.
I think we could do another session on this and probably end it since... maybe need a little bit more time to talk about it. This is important, training your children to serve the Lord.
Yes.
And you that are listening, my goodness, I hope that your desire, you know, sometimes I think what happens is we really want our kids to do well, but we just live our lives.
Yes.
Life is busy. Mm-hmm. And when we're done with work, we either turn on a TV or read a paper or stare at another social media site.
Right.
But we have the wonderful, incredible privilege of training our children so that they mm-hmm. will serve God all the days of their life. Go all the way back to our very first episode, and what you'll find is we have an episode called Serve the Lord with Gladness, our family verse. Mm-hmm. And that is one of my favorite podcasts that we ever did. Mm-hmm. And I hope many of you will go back and even listen to that and remind yourself of it. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thanks for joining us today as we continue this discussion, Teaching Your Children to Serve the Lord. We will continue the discussion in our next episode as well. In the meantime, remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.